Okay, well, we're at the Live Room again, and it's the Live Room's fifth birthday, and we're welcoming Lancome. So welcome to the fifth birthday of the Live Room.
Well, thanks very much. Nice to be here.
I didn't realise it was a birthday party.
There we go.
Yeah, so I think the first question is your name, the change to Lancome. So could you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, we were having this discussion amongst ourselves for a long time, probably about a year and a half, about the name Lynched. In Ireland, it's just a byword for hanging somebody, but obviously as soon as you leave Ireland, it takes on all different kinds of connotations. We realised that's not something that we were comfortable with, so we decided to change the name.
I was looking up Lancome. He don't seem such a savoury character either, really.
Oh, he's an absolute monster. He's horrible. A baby killer. it's one of our favourite of the child ballads. It's version of Long Lancome and False Lancome. It only appears, there's about three or four versions where he's called False Lancome, and it mostly seemed to have come from amongst the traveller community in Ireland. So that's where we took the current name from.
You've a master's in folklore and spent time at the archive. Is that a job or full-time? Is that,
No, I was working in the archive for about a year, the Irish Traditional Music Archive over there in Dublin. At the moment, I'm doing a bit of lecturing in UCD. That's the university where I did the master's that you mentioned there. Yeah, so yeah, keeps me busy anyway, you know. Kind of it provides a nice counterpoint to all the touring and all the rock and roll, you know, to have this academic life to go back to when the tour run's finished.
I was very interested in listening to your stuff and the crossover between, you know, traditional music and, you know, pushing the envelope to whatever style you'd call it. I mean, would you say that you have a style that's alongside anybody else, or are you making it up and creating it as you go along?
I think it's probably more accurate to say that we're making it up as we go along. I'd say probably like all of our sort of collective influences would end up in whatever we're playing, but not particularly consciously. Like, we don't try to sound like any style, we just kind of arrange the songs and try and make them as good as we possibly think they can.
And you, Rady and Cormac, you came playing sessions, I believe, or something, and then...
Yeah, kind of. Would have. I met the lads a couple of years ago now and started off playing sessions with them. And yeah, we were meant to only get in and play on, I think it was meant to be two tracks on the for what would become the album called All Fire. And it's a bit blurry though what happened actually then in the initial practices. I remember we all got pretty excited and decided to be a four piece. But yeah.
Yeah, it's been a hectic few years since, so it's all this mesh. Mishmash.
And you write your original stuff as well, how do you approach that? Have you got one songwriter, or is you do it all together?
I suppose all together. Or maybe somebody would come up with an idea and take it to the rest of us, and we'd chip away at it for usually a long, long time, and until we're kind of finally happy with how it sounds. And it kind of has to be the four of us being happy with it. You know, we kind of have to all agree that something's good to go before it can go, you know.
Yeah, a lot more stuff gets chucked out than actually gets used. Like sometimes we might find ourselves working on a song for 5 or 6 months and then it just doesn't make the grade, you know, and we have to just chuck it out and start on something else. That's happened a few times.
I noticed the clip that you and Cormac and Reddy had done of the performance last autumn, which with the film installation as well, and I thought that was quite exciting. Was it Rue? Yeah.
Oh, for Katie Krill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually technically for another band. That we have a friend of ours, Brian Flanagan. That was very interesting. Yeah, the visuals were created by Donald Dean and Wells O'Reilly. And yeah, it was great to that was pretty interesting. We didn't know how it was gonna turn out at the time at all, but yeah, I liked the way it turned out. Yeah. I love that song as well. So yeah.
And that question behind that, in a way, is how you divide your time, you know, all four of you, between this band and the other things you're doing.
Probably just badly is the answer.
Yeah. this is definitely taking badly. Up all the time at the moment. We're just so busy, so it's hard to.
Yeah. So it gets under timetable first, really, is it? Sort of
kind of, yeah. Yeah. Like, if you agree to something, you would usually get asked to do things almost a year in advance, so we'd have to kind of put dates aside and then. Usually it's happened a lot of times where somebody will ask us to do something else and we can't because we've already agreed to whatever it is 6 months ago, you know.
And we always like to ask about people's home community and so forth. So can you're all Dubliners, I gather, but perhaps from different parts of the city. Can you say a bit more about it?
Yeah, well, obviously me and Dara are brothers, and we grew up in the north side of the city, a place called Balldoyle. It would be quite close to where Rady grew up as well, in Artane. And then Cormac would be from the south side. Yeah, but we all would have grown. I mean, I've been living in the city centre since I was 19. I think Dara, probably the same case as well, and the lads. So we all grew up Dublin city centre. That's where we're all based and where we'd spend most of our time.
Do you get to play lots of gigs in Dublin, or are they all things where you just turn up and do it for free, sort of thing?
Kind of both. Yeah. Like we've done a good few gigs in Dublin, and it's really nice actually. We kind of have a bit of a following now in Dublin. We played in Vicar Street in November, which would be a venue that we all went to see bands that we loved playing as teenagers and that. So then to play there and have a lot of people come along to listen to us was kind of a big honour. But then aside from the gigs, we'd be playing sessions most weeks. Cormac probably plays the most sessions out of all of us. He'd be out playing nearly 7 nights a week.
It's a lot of fun.
That's true. Fiddle and banjo are so popular.
Massively, yeah. In Dublin, there's such a wealth of young musicians, and particularly fiddles, especially in the cobblestone.
There seems to be quite a few young musicians coming up. Is that you see that across the country?
Well, definitely over in Dublin anyway, and in Ireland, there's a lot of young people involved in the traditional music and traditional singing, especially in the last few years. There's been a big scene that's grown up of just like unaccompanied singing sessions that seems to have taken off in a big way. Definitely do notice there's a bit of a difference over here, though. There doesn't seem to be so many young people involved. I mean, there seems to be a few playing in the bands, but I think most of the audiences, it's rare to see, you know, people even our own age, I think, a lot of the time, which is it's a shame to see. Hopefully younger bands around will mean that more young people will get into it. That's what I'd like to see anyway.
I know in Dublin there's singing circles like the Gaoline and the Hoat Singer Circle and that, and different ones, and a lot of those lads have expressed kind of surprise and they're kind of excited by the fact that in the last few years lots of young people are starting to show up. Whereas probably a few years beforehand, they wouldn't have seen anything like it.
And Rady, you're the woman in the group. How do you think it is for other women? Is it mainly a male environment, the folk music in Dublin or all around?
I don't really know how to answer that. No, like, I didn't know. I think there's a load of... it might be slightly more, ratio-wise, it might be slightly more men go out and play it publicly or play it in bands. I think that definitely there seems to be kind of a balanced thing where more men make bands and perform on stage. But, like, in the actual sessions and as regards, like, the kind of strong players, no, I don't. I wouldn't say so. I know, a load of really strong female players. So,
that's good to hear, because we have been getting larger numbers now of all female bands coming here, and that's becoming less unusual, which is a good thing. Can I ask about your instruments, the concertina, the accordion, and how you came to enjoy those?
My odd instruments. I'm kind of from a family of concertina players, so my dad and two of my sisters play as well. So that was kind of just, it was in the house, and I just picked it up and liked it because it was easier than the mandolin, which was what my mum was playing at the time. That's how it kind of came to concertina. I've been doing that a long time, since I was probably about 11 or 12, I think. And then I just have a bit of a fascination, though, with low reed reed instruments generally, but mostly with kind of low reed instruments, which is why I ended up playing that odd looking accordion, which is called a bayan. Apparently it's kind of Russian kind of accordion, but I got in a second hand shop for next to nothing in Dublin and just tried it out and really liked how it sounded. And then from there, just tried a harmonium, and same thing, it's just like I'm just looking for the bassiest, reediest instrument I can find. It's a bit of an obsession. I think I need to curb it a bit these days.
Well, apart from the instrument, your harmonies are great, and instruments in themselves, really, where they all blend together. So that'll take a fair bit of rehearsing.
Yeah.
Yes. we'd spend hours upon hours upon hours going over even one line, and we just sing it, and people would try different bits and pieces, and kind of, like Ian was saying, we might even throw something out after working on it for weeks and weeks, and we kind of, but we do, we'd really kind of pay a lot of attention to what each voice is doing for each harmony line.
We just occasionally ask, you know, whether people pay much attention to looking after the voice. I mean, folk musicians and roots musicians vary hugely on that. Do you do vocal exercises and think about?
I don't look after mine as much as I should. I know Ian probably looks after his more than the rest of us.
That's something that's only started probably in the last year or two, you know. Before, I remember going the first time we were in the UK about a year and a half ago, going on stage, and all we were concerned with doing is how much beer we could drink before we get on stage. But nowadays, it's vocal warm-ups, eating vocal zone tablets, drinking cups of ginger and honey tea, and we've got a personal steam inhaler.
Steamy unusual voices.
Yeah, so yeah, we do anything possible at all to help our voices along the way. Like, I used to do a lot of singing in heavy metal bands when I was a teenager, and I kind of ruined my voice, so I kind of feel like I should start maybe taking care of it now before it degenerates any further.
Yeah, I try and make it a point of playing like for 15, 20 minutes before actually going up on stage, just to get the hands warmed up.
Okay, so we're all warmed up for tonight, are we?
Yeah, just about.
Well, we're very much looking forward to listening to you, and thanks for coming.
Very welcome.
Thanks very much for having us.